Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good evening. It is another late night at the Up the Poshcast Studios, where we are talking about yet another defeat. This time we talk about the 1-0 loss to Barnsley, and there's some head loss. I'll be warning you, there is some head loss. Charlie slags off Gustav Lindgren. I unsurprisingly criticise Abraham Odo, but there is also some positives. We did pick out some reasons to feel encouraged, because we all felt that this performance perhaps wasn't quite as bad as those that came before it. We also talk about the signing of Ben Woods, which we think will be a good addition to the team. And this episode is sponsored by Elite Lawn Maintenance. They are a local, independent, family-run lawn care company specializing in renovations and chemical treatments. They have over 10 years experience of doing this, and they renovated the London Road pitch when it looked good. The best news for you guys, if you're looking for any of their services, is Up the Poshcast listeners get 25% off their first treatment. So do quote Up the Poshcast when you get in contact with them and let them look after all your gardening needs. For this episode, I was joined by Charlie, I was joined by Max, and I was joined by Ashley. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Charlie, are we ever going to win a game of football? Please tell me that we are.
I hope so. I mean, there were some positives tonight, but I'm going to be honest, I feel so low after that game. It's just like, there's a couple of players that I'm really angry at, because I don't think, you know, they are performing at the level they should be. But I think a lot of these players, unfortunately, are performing at the level they should be, considering the kind of player they are in the stage of the career they're at. I'm so upset with how this team has crumbled since that Oxford playoff game. You know, the fall off of Peterborough United in the last 14 months should be studied, because it is absolutely horrendous. Barnsley weren't anything special yet again. I don't think any of the teams we've played really have been anything special. Feels like a pretty weak League One, actually, when you look at it. But all they did is do the basics right, and then they were the most comfortable team I've seen at London Road in a long time. They just did not look phased. You know, at 60 minutes, you had their players giving it the 1-0 to the crowd, you know, winding our fans up in the main stand, because they were just so comfortable that they were going to win. They were never really under any threat. We huffed and puffed as usual, but we are just so devoid of quality. And I really just hope these signings are good, because otherwise I just can't see us, you know, beating any of the teams in the division, because they all look so much stronger than us.
Yeah, Charlie, I think you're right in what you say about the players just sort of missing something. And it was something that I mentioned when we recorded on Sunday night, is that I am actually past the point now of being disappointed in the players and their performances. Ultimately, some of them just aren't quite up to scratch. Some of them will hopefully get there. I think some of them, the ship has sailed, unfortunately. Tonight was just one of those days. We huffed and we puffed, but we didn't get enough balls in the box again. For me, it didn't feel like, which was something that Fergie picked up after Wigan. So we've not learned a great deal in sort of 3 days. That's fair enough. Hopefully when we roll around to Saturday, when we play Bradford, we can just get some balls in the box and cause a little bit of chaos. Like, the chances were there to get the balls in. They just didn't quite fall for us today. I hope that the players aren't too disheartened after tonight, because there was definitely good spells. But again, both boxes, I thought we were right. I actually think, I know that I watched Fergie's interview before we recorded tonight. Fergie said that they didn't really trouble us, but they've hit the post. Reyes has tipped one onto the post. Good save. A couple of good saves for Reyes as well. Barnsley realistically probably could have scored a couple more if they'd have tried tonight, and it didn't really ever look like we were going to score at all.
Yeah, I mean, I sit here and And really the big question I have tonight is, what went wrong in this summer where, and this isn't an I told you so, it's not like I had a great epiphany, but I was called negative all summer for saying this would happen. And now the club seems to be waking up for it. But when we lost Mothersill, when we lost Pocky, when we lost Ricky J. Jones, what exactly did the club think was going to happen to our goal scoring threat? Where did they think it was going to come from? I would love to know that. I would love to know who they thought was going to score goals in this football team. Because for me, that was our best performance of the season tonight. And it wasn't great, but it was industrious. It was hard working. There wasn't too many complaints I had about the effort of the large majority of the team, with the exception of one or two. But there was a real lack of quality. And if we're saying that's the best performance of the season, we're in dire straits. I feel like we're just waiting for the new signings to come in. We are Green Day FC at this point. Wake me up when September ends, because we have wasted so much of this season just waiting for new signings to come in. And until we get the new signings, and if these are wrong, we're done for. Because the players that we've got in the building at the minute that are fit are just not good enough for the level, or at least there's not enough good ones that can carry us through games, especially when we don't have any attacking threat. It's the worst squad that Dara's ever produced. It's the worst squad I think Fergie's ever managed. And yeah, I'm at a complete loss for what they thought was going to happen over the summer. We're a tenth of the season down already. When is the next win going to come? It feels like the only chance we have of getting a win is when our players that we've signed get fit. And I don't know when that's going to be. October time, probably.
It's Harry said it on the last episode. I completely agree with what you said, John, as well. And, you know, I was one of the ones that was more optimistic over the summer. And I feel like I was completely wrong in that regard. It is really worrying to see the level of this squad and what they can produce. But Harry said it last episode. I don't understand why we haven't listened to any of the wake-up calls that have been put right in front of us. I think we lost to Grimsby, we drew to Colchester, we didn't even look very good against King's Lynn. And, you know, over pre-season, we haven't tested ourselves against higher opposition. We've sleepwalked our way into the start of the season, and now we're in big trouble. Because although, yes, I agree, and I, you know, I said there was nothing in it, I probably do also retract that. I think Barnsley were the better side today. But we've got a chance. We've even got a chance to win it at the end. And our striker that we've signed to score goals has not even hit the target. He's not even given the keeper a thought to make a save. How are we going to get any points or win any games if our strikers can't score and our midfielders can't create? It's really challenging, and it's worrying for me to see this decline the way that it does.
Yeah, I think the thing with me as well, Max, is you talk about those warning signs and how we should have seen this coming. And like, we obviously have the financial capacity this summer to make more signings and to make quite a few signings because we're doing it now. So we can't even, you know, blame the wage cap and say, you know, we couldn't make those signings because we've not sold anyone. The only thing we've done is take the Collins offer off the table. That's the only thing that maybe could give us a little bit more wiggle room. But all of a sudden, we're able to make these really competitive signings and we're stealing players from, you know, championship clubs, apparently, in Garbutt, and we're putting in significant bids. We haven't actually, since we supposedly were done in the transfer window and we only needed a couple more pieces, we haven't actually really done anything financially that would mean that we can make these signings, which then concerns me because it makes you think, okay, well, maybe Dara and Fergie actually did think this squad was good enough. And if they really did, then that's really worrying, because if they thought that, you know, this was a good squad to go into a League One season with, then it's the first time that I'm actually going to really question their judgment and go, you know, do they actually know the level that's required in this league anymore? Because if they can look at that squad in training and they can look at the caliber of players we have and go, yeah, we'll win a lot of football matches this season, I just don't think that was ever going to be realistic with the level of squad we have.
Yeah, I think maybe it might be worth just noting that we did sell Malik Mothersill and we did sell Emmanuel Fernandez. So there was money there. Whether that's enough to sort of replace everybody, basically, is what it feels like at the moment. It's probably not fair on the squad. But I think you're right. And we roll back, and we've said it multiple times now, all the way to that retained list. And there was Bielo transfer listed, Blackmore retained, De Havilland retained, Conclart retained. And now we're getting rid of them. Is that actually they should have gone probably July 1st and just got rid of them. There was no reason to keep them. They weren't going to improve. Yes, Conclart came back and he lost all this weight, but he's not up to the standard. He's just not good enough. Same with De Havilland, same with Will Blackmore. I don't really know why we've kept Will Blackmore for so long and kept extending his contract, ultimately. That's the difficult thing. It's so disappointing that we have, like you guys said, have just kept walking into this and just not learned from sort of what felt like probably bad recruitment last summer as well.
It's not even all the things that we've just said as well. The muddled up thinking goes as much as Bradley Ivonian was on the transfer list. One of the few players that we put on the transfer list. He's now our main number nine. Like, what are we doing? What plan did you have in place when we've just had this worst season ever? And we were promised, oh, this next season is not going to be like that again, from both Dara and Darren Ferguson. What are they doing? We are now 2 weeks to salvage a season. Don't get me wrong. I think we've started doing it. And actually, the club appear to have woken up and smelt the coffee. But we could be 10 games into this season before they do that. And is the squad, even with the additions, good enough to pick up the requisite points to stay up over 36 games rather than 46? I'm really not certain.
Yeah, I think it's probably worth just having a conversation on at the back and starting with probably what was quite bright in Reyes. I wasn't disappointed with his performance. He did look a little bit shaky against Wigan. You sort of think about that first 5 minutes where he came charging out of the box, let the ball go over his head, and then he caught it with his back to the goal. I actually think that today he showed the quality that he has, and we had lots of, well, we scored six past him. I was one of those that said that. How can you have any confidence in that? But actually, he looked like a proper goalkeeper today. He passed the ball well. He made the saves that he needed to. He stood up and made himself big when he had the one-on-ones. And he's realistically, like I said just earlier on, he's the reason that it was only 1-0 today for me. He saved the shots that came out here, which we'll argue, yes, that's his job, but you've still got to do it. And I think he did it quite well today.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Ash. I thought Reyes was good today. I thought people are saying that he could have saved the goal. I don't think he could have because of the deflection. It was pretty horrific. He would have already had to make his dive, and you can't adjust when you're already in the air. Like, that's just impossible physics. I thought on the ball he was really good. It was refreshing to just see him, even in the moments where you saw him maybe hesitate for a second, he then very quickly found his feet again and then just hoofed it long. His passing range is actually very good, like very good. He was finding his target with long balls quite a lot of the time. He found the head of Bradley Honvian quite a few times. He just looked so composed at the back. And to be fair, I actually thought we looked really composed at the back today in terms of when we had the ball. I thought we built out from the back really well. Dave was probably a bit shaky, but I actually think a lot of the credit for us building out from the back really well today goes to George Nevitt. We've spoken about the need to sort of have that Ronnie Edwards ball player in there in this system. And I'm not saying that George Nevitt is anywhere near Ronnie Edwards level, but he did today several times what Ronnie used to do, which used to be so effective, in that he just stood on the ball for a second. You know, he didn't treat the ball like a hot potato like Wollin and Okugbo do. He was happy to keep the ball. He stood on the ball. He let a player run towards him. And then he'd put, like, fizz a pass into midfield, or he'd fizz a pass even sometimes skipping the midfielder and going into Bradley or the winger. He was really quality on the ball today. Obviously, off the ball, he's still got a lot to learn, hasn't he? You know, he let McGoldrick run in behind him when he hit the post. That's sort of par for the course for George Nevitt. I feel like you're going to get one hairy moment where he lets a player run off him. And he's still, you know, looks a tiny bit better physically, as in stronger, I think, but he's still quite slow, isn't he? But that's, you know, you can't train pace massively. But he could still be a very good player for us, I think. He's good on the ball, and if he can learn how to make his pace deficiency as little of a deficiency as possible, as in he knows how to defend without having to try and outpace strikers, how to give himself an extra few yards and use his body, I think he'll be really good for us. And I was pleased with him tonight. I'm not going to lie. When I saw his name on the team sheet, I was nervous. I was like, oh, God, here we go again. But I actually thought he was probably one of our best players on the night.
I think we've got to remember with George Nevitt is he's still only 19 years old. And that's the big thing for me, is that he has so much talent and he's been thrown into the sinking ship, it feels like, in terms of our centre-back situation. None of them set the world alight for me. None of them, I would say, are fantastic, other than Sam Hughes. I'd say he's obviously our best centre-back, but you look at Wallen, you look at Cogboy, I don't think either of them are particularly good. So George Nevitt had to make that step up quite quickly, whereas I think we would have liked to have developed him more and let him play with the 21s. And instead, he's been thrown on the bus. And yes, he's got a lot of, he does have a howler in him. But today, I think he did show that he does have, he is talented in terms of ball playing, which we've always known. But he really did epitomise that today. And I really do think there is a player in there, ultimately. I think he performed well today. He was one of, if not the best player on the pitch. And overall, in terms of a centre-back, I really do think he'll develop into quite a good one in time.
Yeah, I think the important thing for Nevitt was that actually today sort of felt a little bit tailor-made for him. He was up against McGoldrick, who maybe was slightly quicker than him, but wasn't like he's not an electric striker anymore. He's not got mega yards of pace. So that probably was a tick in his favour. And then also the high press that Barnsley played, his ability to split lines essentially with his passing, and he's actually really calm customer under the on with the ball at his feet, sorry. And you saw it in the first half when obviously I'm sat in the main stand. You can see it with him, and he's relaxed. He picks his pass, he knows where he wants to do it, and he was forming good passing partnerships with Archie Collins, Keller as well. So that was a delight to see. His partner, on the other hand, unfortunately, looks like Manny Fernandez version 2. I simply can't watch somebody, a professional footballer, head the ball, and this is before we even start talking about the goal that we conceded, his inability to head the ball forwards and progress the ball up the pitch is massively disappointing. Max, you obviously mentioned about Nevitt making step up quite quickly. I think it's the same for Okagbue. He clearly is not quite League One ready, and that's fine. Like we've said, that's not the player's fault. They've been dragged into this position. But I really struggle when the players don't do the basics right. And heading the ball, for me, is a basic. You just have to put your head through it. I've watched him head the ball out for throws. I've watched him head it back towards thingy. And then it sums it up with the goal, doesn't he? He sticks his head on it. And I think that the Barnsley players are in credit with the goal. But if you were to call that a cross, it's a great finish from Okagbue. I wish he could do it up the other end, ultimately.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a bit harsh on Dave. I actually have quite liked him this season so far. I think he's got some obvious deficiencies to his game, you know, but I think in terms of what we want from a player who's in his first season, I think he's better than Manny was at the start of last season, 100%. He looks, you know, like he knows where he is at all times on the football pitch, which is an improvement on Manny. He doesn't look lost, really, I wouldn't say. He seems to have a bit of an understanding of what's required from him in this system, which is another positive. And I think, you know, yes, he's not putting headers in the right area, but also I don't really know what areas he should be aiming for, because we're not really, like, it's not as if when the ball comes over, we've got loads of players making really intelligent runs into space and giving him options. You know, a lot of the time, the only option really is to just head away and just hope that it lands somewhere favourable, because our players aren't really showing for the ball. I don't know. I think that's a bit harsh, Ash. I think Dave has not been anywhere near, you know, Manny Fernandez calamity level yet. I think he's been a pretty consistent performer. And actually, I don't think the centre-backs today were an issue at all. I really didn't.
I think for me, Dave actually hasn't been too bad since he signed. Not as bad as I feared. However, I do think he's ill-fitting for the system. And again, we go back to the summer. Connor Taylor was right there. Like, why didn't we just pay the extra money? Now we're in a situation where we're trying to sign Tom Lees and another centre-back to try and fix the defence. When I feel like if we'd got Connor Taylor, we probably wouldn't have needed to do that. So I do question, again, why we didn't just pay the money in June when we knew we needed a centre-back. Moving on, though, this might be the first thing positive that I've said all season, because I thought Carl Johnston played well. I actually think Carl Johnston's having a decent season so far, certainly better than last season. Look, he's not exactly an exciting watch, is he? I don't think I'm being too harsh to say that. He's not exactly a Mark Little or a Pia Chioso in a rampaging sense, or even a Tommy Rowe. But he was solid, and I was a bit worried when he got put in over Mills on the left-hand side. I did wonder how it might affect our progression of play and our transitional play, but actually he played pretty well ball at feet. I thought he was solid defensively throughout, and he's actually been solid defensively all season. So if he continues to play like this, maybe the vice captaincy's helped out a little bit. I don't know, but he's putting in performances of a level that they're solid, aren't they? He's been sort of 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 every week, which is fine. I'm okay with that. If you've got a few more sparks in your team, I think we'd all be saying he's looking pretty good this season. Unfortunately, we're kind of relying on people to provide some attacking impetus, and he's never going to be able to do that. But yeah, fair credit to him. I thought he had a good game tonight. So well done, Carl Johnston, for eking out a positive statement out of me.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to come this season, John, in honesty, and it seems to have come over Carl Johnston, which if you told me that over pre-season, I would have probably laughed. But I completely agree. I think Johnston has been good. I do have a worry with him going forward. He doesn't seem to enjoy doing it. And I think, you know, we just talked about Peter Chioso there. When we had Chioso and Burrow, it's not that we've got that now, but in terms of ability. But you look at when we had Chioso and Burrow, that was so important to our attacking fluidity when we had our fullbacks overlapping and allowing our wingers to either cut inside or dummy with the ball or give it to our fullbacks. It felt like we had options. I don't feel like any of our fullbacks at the moment have shown they could do that consistently. And that's something that I am worried about. But defensively and everything you want out of a fullback, really, Johnston can do. It's just I am a little bit worried about him going forward. Somebody that I wasn't overly worried about going forward was Dornelli today. And he really impressed me. And this is what I really wanted to see from Dornelli. I felt that was a very good performance. He had a lot to deal with today, I felt. And he came on and did it very well and did it throughout the game very well. And that's something that really did impress me. I talked about last season on last episode where I was saying that we needed to sign another fullback because I didn't want what happened to Dornelli to happen to Mills, where Dornelli's sort of been thrown into a sinking ship and having to perform at a level that's higher than what he should be at that stage in his career. And he came on and he looked very composed. And that final cross today that Gustav really should have scored, but that final cross today, a game-defining moment, and that would have been fantastic for him to have aided in that, because I really felt like he deserved that. If Gustav had scored, I really felt like he deserved that, because that performance today was really something that I was quite impressed by.
Yeah, I think you're right, Max, with Dornelli, and he always seems to be one. I've looked back through the records. We've never given him a man of the match, and that does seem quite harsh on him, because there have been performances that have been good, and tonight was probably one of them as well, where if Lisby and if Nevitt and Reyes probably weren't as strong as they were, he probably would have been a fitting man of the match. And I think the important thing is, and I hate to bang this drum again, it's so important to be able to take these young players out of the game and be able to just let them watch from the touchlines and learn their trade. We've obviously seen it with Mills tonight. He got taken off at halftime. I actually think that Mills being given 90 minutes on the touchline is probably going to benefit him in the long term.
Maybe. I don't know. I was disappointed not to see Mills in the team tonight. I'm going to be honest. I thought I understood why he was taken off at halftime against Wigan. I don't think he had the best game. You know, the first goal came from his side. I get that. It's tough. I must say, I think he's been stitched up with who's been playing in front of him. I don't think any of the wingers, even when they've played well in an attacking sense for periods, any of the wingers have done a good job defensively on that left-hand side in really supporting him, you know, especially Abraham Odo. You know, it just seems like it's a poison chalice playing anywhere near that guy at the moment, but I'm sure we'll talk about him later. I just think, why wouldn't we use our natural left back in a game like tonight? You know, it was the first time tonight because of Nevitt playing at left-sided centre-back that we could have had real balance in that team in terms of we could have had two left-footers on the left of defence, two right-footers on the right, and it just would have made sense. I don't think Mills will be particularly tired because he's a very young, you know, fit lad, and he's going to be, you know, pretty fresh after only playing 45 minutes at the weekend, coming off at half-time. And also, I actually would have liked to see him come on when we were chasing the game today. Even, you know, if that had been for CJ or Dornelli, I think his delivery and the quality that he can get into the box would have actually really helped us. I know, obviously, bringing on a defender when you're losing is sometimes a bit of a, you know, frowned upon by some people, but I don't think that would have been a defensive switch at all. And I think, as much as I do like Johnson, I don't think him running down the left-hand side and trying to overlap, because the issue is he has to overlap and then he has to get his entire body round the ball if he wants to put anything good quality in. Whereas with Mills, obviously, he can overlap and then he can just sort of scoop him with his left foot and put the ball across the box. I think Harley Mills should have come on tonight, and I was really disappointed in Fergie that he didn't bring him on.
Just moving a bit up the pitch now into the midfield, I personally thought Collins and Keller in particular deserved a sizable amount of credit. I thought Collins' first half was really good. His ability to take the ball under pressure really stood out. And there was three or four times where he just stepped aside past the Barnsley player and distributed out. And it was more like the Collins that we saw last season. I thought he was really, really good first half. He faded a little bit in the second half. I definitely wouldn't have taken him off, though. I think Archie Collins should play 90 minutes every single game of football because he is the best player in this football team. I don't really know why we decided that Donny would be a more progressive passer than Archie Collins. I just completely disagree with it. The other one I wanted to point out was Keller, who I think played very well. I think he could have shown a little bit more finesse in the final third. However, box-to-box wise and energy-wise, he's really good. And if he's in a free with a little bit more creativity around him, a little bit more quality around him, I actually think he'll look a really, really good player. I think he absolutely busts a gut out there. He is backwards, forwards, in the box, in his own box, cleared one off the line tonight. I thought it was a really encouraging performance from him. And although he can tidy up a little bit in possession, I really like his energy and I like what he brings to the side. One thing I would like us to change is to get him off corners. We don't have a lot of height in this team and he's a big lad. And I guess that you might point at someone like Declan Rice taking them for Arsenal. But Arsenal have so much height they can aim at, it doesn't really matter that you can take Rice out. We don't have that height and Keller's one of the tallest players in the team. Nearly scored a goal at Wigan, and yet he was on set pieces tonight, which I found a little bit odd. But overall, I thought Collins and Keller were actually both excellent and let down a little bit by the players a bit more advanced than them that are supposed to provide the creativity.
It's another tough one. I think Barnsley have one of the best midfields in the league, so I'm not going to criticise them too much. I didn't think Collins and Keller were anything really special tonight. I thought that they were just okay. I actually thought Keller was quite rugged at times. I really didn't think he had the best performance. I think I gave him a 5.5 in my ratings. I thought Fergie was incredibly frustrated with Brandon Keller. That was one of the things. I don't really hear Fergie a lot from where I sit in the stadium at all, but I could hear him screaming at Brandon Keller. I think some of the composure, the lack of composure shown by Keller in big moments in that game, you know, there was a couple of times where he had the opportunity to put the ball over the top and he sort of scooped it. Listen, he is industrious, I will give you that, and I actually think we would have been worse off without him this evening because his running definitely did cover up a lot of things. But I don't think his performance in terms of quality was anywhere near the level that some people have said. I thought he was pretty poor tonight, to be honest. I just think on the ball, off the ball, he's always good. I've never criticised his performance off the ball, but on the ball, he was not very productive, I didn't think. I just wasn't a massive fan of his performance.
I think you're judging him a little bit on things that he's not there to do. I don't think Keller is ever going to be that creative fulcrum of the team. He's never going to be a Joel Randle because he doesn't have that finesse to his game. But if you look at what he did, He was the top for recoveries in the midfield. He was top for defensive contributions. He won 5 duels, which was more than any other midfielder. He had the most touches in the midfield. He was top for passes into the final third with 11, which is the highest any midfielder in this team has done this season. So there's a little bit of creativity. He was advancing the ball pretty well and more than any of our other midfielders have done in any game this season. Like I say, he cleared one off the line and he got back and blocked a goal-bound shot as well. And he hit the bar. Like, that's a box-to-box, all-round good performance. And yes, he didn't pick the pocket of the Barnsley defence very often, but I don't think he's ever going to be that player. It's not his job to do that. That's what Lolos is in the team for. That's what we brought Donny on to do. It's their job. It's more their role than his. So I think you're being a little bit harsh if you're judging him on because he didn't play a through ball to Brad.
Well, I think I was talking about his quality, not you know, his endeavour. I believe he probably did make a lot of recoveries. But also, you know, when you look at Archie Collins, who probably had a bit of a quieter night, in my opinion, tonight, you know, Keller, 0% accurate long balls. He attempted 5, not a single one met its target. Collins 60%, 3 out of 5. You know, that's the level, really. You know, you look at his passing accuracy, Collins was higher as well. I'm not talking about endeavour, I'm not talking about trying to make things happen, but I just think in terms of quality, Keller's performance just wasn't quite there.
Let's move up the pitch, because there's a player that I want to talk about again. And I think he was fantastic against Wigan. I think he's been fantastic tonight, and that's Kyrel Lisby for me. I honestly think that we have such a good player in Lisby. He has so much talent. I don't know how the referee has not awarded a penalty. I don't know if somebody got a better angle on, I say a better angle, I'm talking to you, John, because me, Charlie and Ashley are all in the same stand. But
yeah, from where I was at, Max, Fergie said it in his comments, well, I'm not convinced. It's kind of 50-50, but Lisby sort of leans into him first, and it definitely wasn't Stonewall. It looked it on first view, but the replay, yeah, I'm not convinced.
Well, at least he's tried his best in terms of running in behind the defence to win that penalty. But that's exactly what I wanted to talk about with Lisby's performance, is that running in behind. And we've seen it so many times with Oddo, where the fullback won't be in the same wavelength because Oddo won't run behind the defence. Instead, will try and pass to his feet. Oddo will stop. He'll try and run at the man, stop and pull it back. Lisby's willingness to run, and also his willingness to run everywhere. Like, it really felt like he was pressing every ball correctly, really putting pressure on their wingers. And that's something that's really impressed me, once at Wigan and today. And if he can consistently do that with that sort of stamina and that sort of ability, then we're going to have a player that's going to be so exciting. Again, I don't think it should be his job right now. There should be somebody ahead of him and he should be coming on in terms of development. This is not something that we should be doing, is starting Lisby every week. But if he's going to bring performances like that, then he could really be up there in conversation to have that starting role on that flank.
Yeah, the thing that I really like about Lisby is that he's one of those players, he's just going to get you off your feet, isn't he? He's exciting. Like, you actually don't really know what he's going to do, but what he is quick, and he just has pace. Maybe not quite the finished article in terms of his ability to completely beat a man, but when there's space in front of him, what a relief. It's so nice to actually finally see a man just run into open grass, and so enjoyable to watch. There were times today where he looked like nobody was going to catch up with him in the second half. He just looked like he was going to drop the shoulder and beat the man. We saw it a few times. It's, like I said, it's refreshing, isn't it, to just have a little bit of excitement. And I think that's probably what we need. And it would be nice to see that again on Saturday, is just somebody that's going to get the crowd up. I know that he was doing it. I know that Brad was doing it. Just like, they're ready to fight for the cause. And it looks like that's what we're going to need this season. And I hope that Lisby can play a big part in that, because, like I say, he's exciting.
Yeah, I like Lisby a lot. A lot, actually. I think we've not got Harry on tonight, so we need someone to talk about some body mechanics and some really specific analysis. Something I picked up on for Lisby was something that I saw Ephraim Mason-Clark do really well, is I'd like him, when the ball comes to him in the air, what he does is he waits sort of away from the defender, and then as the ball drops, he uses his shoulder to sort of try and get in front of the defender at that moment. What he needs to do, I think, more is the ball's coming down. As it's about to hit the ground, you shove the defender then, before the ball's hit the ground, give yourself that little bit of space, and then you have a little bit of room to take the touch. And if he can do that and start, you know, muscling the defender before the ball comes in, and all that is just positioning and having the forethought to sort of think about where I'm going next. And also, I'd quite like Lisby to start looking at where his next touch is going to be. I feel like he makes decisions very spontaneously. I'd love him to know at every moment. I'd love to know if he does know. If the ball's going to come to me now, where is my next move? And I think that's what will take him from a decent raw technical player into an actual quality winger.
I think raw is the word, Charlie, but I think there was enough promise there and at Wigan that actually he has been a signing that we can get slightly excited about. He's probably not there quite yet, but there is enough promise in him that I'm liking what I'll see. And if somebody comes on the pitch and puts in that amount of effort for Peterborough United, it's rare that I'll criticise them as strongly as I will criticise somebody like that coward Abraham Odo, who won't take on a man who just wants to saunter around for 90 minutes every time he plays football and turn around and pass it to his fullback. At least Lisby will carry some level of responsibility. And when he was 1v1, I thought he didn't work every time, but he went at his fullback and he kept going at his fullback and he got back and he was sprinting back into position. And I tweeted that it was a joy to watch his performance, and somebody tweeted back saying, well, that shows what level we're at now, if that was a joy to watch. And they're probably right in the sense that there wasn't a huge amount of quality with it, but he wanted to have a go. And that is something that I will always commend players for. If you're going to play on a wing for Posh, you need to be willing to lose the ball, basically. And Lisby was, and he just kept going. And Ogbeta's a good fullback. We've all seen it. He's a decent player. And I thought he gave him some problems tonight. So that's really good in what is one of his first few matches at the club. Hayes on the other side is probably the other one that I wanted to talk about. Again, I think a lot of what I just said about Lisby goes for Hayes. He is a trier and he tries hard every time he's on the pitch. Now, that gives him a degree of credibility with me. I think, again, his quality let him down tonight, if I'm being honest. If he is fighting for his place at the club or certainly as a starter, I'm not sure he's doing enough to convince me that he's ready for a starting role in League One. I think he's a decent impact sub and he's always going to be a good dribbler, but he does really need to start producing a little bit more in the final third. But again, effort-wise, it was there. And if you're going to put the effort in, I'm not going to hammer you.
It's a difficult one with Hayes, isn't it? Because he looks like he likes being on the right-hand side and being able to cut in. And obviously, he's played on the left. He was good today. He had nothing sort of to set the world alight. And he was good at Wigan when he went onto the left. So that's fine. But like you say, John, it's just missing that final piece of the puzzle. But I think that's probably the same with Lisby as well. So if the wingers can get it right and you add Frith into that as well, then I think that we've got a good rotation of three there that can all play 60 minutes, 70 minutes. Then we can swap them out. Then we can potentially change the formation and things like that. The one man that definitely does not want to be on the pitch is Abraham Odo. And John, you mentioned it there. This is a man that simply cannot get the basics of football right. He, again, tonight has laid a pass off and it's gone to a Barnsley player in our own half. I don't know how many times the man can do this and do that and just not play a simple pass to a teammate. It really isn't that difficult. It's not like he's playing spraying balls across to the other side of the pitch. It's literally a 10-yard pass. That simply isn't good enough from Abraham Odo. And Lod's mentioned previously, sometimes it does feel like it is a little bit of an Abraham Odo witch hunt, but it's just the simple fact that he ultimately is not good enough for Peterborough United.
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter say, I'm actually just going to read the tweet, I've got it here. People singling out Odo should hang their heads. Really? There's only one person who should be hanging their head, and that is Abraham Odo himself, because he is just not good enough. Like, he isn't good enough. And if he wants to be giving fans evils and, you know, being pretty egotistical from the outside perspective. It looks like he sort of thinks he's above some of what's going on the pitch. He needs to start performing. He came on as an impact sub. He literally, I think it was touched on in the last recording, he had the easiest job in the world. You come on as a winger against tiring legs. That should be your bread and butter, especially if you're a start. Could you imagine if Efron had come on in that game tonight? Which, bearing in mind, and that's not an unfair comparison to make, because Oddo was meant to be Efron Mason-Clark's replacement, and it's his second season now. Could you imagine Mason Clark coming on against those legs, those Barnsley legs? He would have absolutely had a field day, and Oddo couldn't even beat them when he tried. And it wasn't because, you know, he was being played the ball in difficult areas. He was given loads of space. Loads of space. Fergie, again, brilliant tactics because he managed to get the wingers in loads of space. Oddo was one of those and he just did nothing with it. And he is not good enough. He simply is not good enough. We need to move on. Need to get him out of this squad. He's one that, you know, if we need to free up some cap space, just sell him. There will be League Two interest in him because, you know, he scored, what, 8 goals or something in League One last season. It's not a terrible return. He'll probably get a move to a decent League Two club, maybe even a League One club that will be willing to chance their arm on him. But even if he did leave now and went on to be a big success, I'd never be like, you know, worried that he was the one that got away, because he's literally shown no reason this season at all. He's not shown a single reason why we should keep him.
Yeah, and just to sort of add to the frustration, he came on sort of, and within 2 minutes, he'd given the ball away in an attacking area and just made absolutely no effort to try and win the ball back. Now, I appreciate that maybe he wasn't quite up to the speed of the game, but if the defender tackles you, then surely it's just a simple case of, well, you bust a gut to try and win it back. I think that it was realistically summed up by Carl Johnston taking one look up, seeing three defenders in front of him, seeing Otto there, and not deciding to pass to him and just carry the ball forwards himself. What a situation that is, where one of our vice captain doesn't want to pass the ball to his teammate because he thinks that he can do better. And this is a man that can't carry the ball forwards with a massive attacking threat. He ultimately ended up giving it away, but that says all that you need to know, I think, about what Carl Johnston thought of Abraham Oddo today.
I was actually going to stay quiet on Oddo tonight, and then he put in that performance. And look, I criticise Oddo all the time. There was one, and I called him a coward earlier, and I say that because all I ask of him is to run at a fullback, run towards the goal. And there was one moment, almost instantaneously after he came on, where he was put through on goal, towards the goal, the ball was bouncing, and he decided to run away from the goal into the corner and got tackled. What are you doing? You are a winger. Go towards the thing with the posts and the net. It will really help your game, Abraham, if you start doing that. We are trying to score goals here. We are not trying to run towards corner flags. And I just thought that summed up Abraham Oddo's Peterborough United career. I mean, Crawley might take a punt because he looked like the best player in the world that night. But for the rest of his Peterborough United career, he has stunk London Road out. And I am absolutely sick of him. If he never wears a Peterborough United shirt again, that will be a major positive to come from tonight's game. And I don't think he should, by the way. Way too many stinkers. Way, way too many stinkers now. The time has run out for Abraham Oddo. Someone who does have a little bit more time, but clearly does need to improve, I think, is Brad. I like Brad. I really like Brad. I like his attitude. I don't question his work rate. Again, another one who I don't really think there's any issues with his work rate, although I know he's had attitude problems directed at him behind the scenes. It's his quality that's a little bit troubling for me. There are moments with Brad where I think he looks really powerful and strong, and he holds the ball up well and he links the play well. And I think, yeah, you've got a little bit of something. And I think there are glimpses with him, which is more than you can say for some of the players in this squad. But I'm not sure that he's a 46-game-a-season League One striker at the minute. I think he needs to be a bench option and used as sort of a rotation option, a bit like when he came off the bench against Wrexham, and he obviously had a really good impact there. And I think that's his role this season, or at least that should be his role. I feel a little bit sorry for him carrying the fight in a difficult role on his own, but I'm not quite sure he has the quality, at least consistently just yet, that he is ready to play as the main man in a League One team. It's a tough role, And I'm not quite sure he's up to that challenge just yet. But I'm certainly not writing him off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in complete agreement over Brad, John. I think in time he could be a decent player. And I completely agree with leading the line alone for a League One team when we are struggling with creativity. And that's something we are really struggling with, is creativity. And I think Brad suffers from that because he's very good at putting his body about. We saw that at Huddersfield last season. We've seen that multiple times this season. He's very good at putting his body about. He's very good at causing, at being a nuisance. But this team is so inconsistent in the final third, and we lack any sort of creative engine at the minute. And that is something that is worrying because Brad's not getting any service, so Brad can't score. And when Brad goes on his own, he also can't create. There was a chance where he'd whip the ball into the box, and I think the ball, when whipped, actually went behind him and didn't go near anybody's heads. So it really does scream out for needing another striker in the door. And I think Gustav Lindgren's performance today really did epitomise that, how we need another striker, because how you cannot hit the target there is absolutely ridiculous. You have to test the goalkeeper. And I was furious when I watched that ball go in, because, again, I said it earlier, Dornelli really deserved that today, I felt. It was an excellent ball into Gustav's feet. And what does he do? He doesn't even hack at it. It feels like he just jumps at the ball and tries to get any sort of touch on it. He looked in quite a decent position to get a decent bit of body on it and flick it towards the goal. I mean, you're a striker. You scored however many goals in the Swedish league and you look fantastic. And you've come here and you had a good game in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. But other than that, you haven't done anything to impress anybody. And tonight you had a really good opportunity to turn that around, give Fergie some sort of headache by scoring a goal, because it'd be the first open play goal we've scored all season. And instead, I can't believe you've not even tested the goalkeeper. You have to put that on target. It's not even a matter of you should score. You've got to test him. I can't believe that you haven't tested the keeper. And that, for me, is unforgivable, because there was a point up for grabs today. There really was. I felt there was throughout the game. Fergie said in his interview that he thought we'd get something, and I completely agree with him. We should have done. But you simply have to hit the target there. And for me, not hitting the target shows, well, we need another striker, and Gustav shouldn't play again, or at least should play in rotational games and let him get back up to speed, because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with you, Max. I was so annoyed when that didn't go in. I ended up putting a tweet out about him having to play for Peterborough Sports, which, listen, I don't think he's far off that level, to be honest. I think he's closer to being Peterborough Sports level than he is Peterborough United level, definitely. The annoying thing for Gustav is that was the moment for him to potentially turn his posh career around. If he scored there and he got to celebrate that last minute equaliser in front of the London Road end, that could have been it for him. That could have been the start of something quite good. But no, not even close. Just put it over the bar. It's like, oh, I'm fed up of him. We spent 500 grand on this guy. Why? Why? I mean, who scouted him? Wallin's dad? Did he scout him? Oh yeah, Wallin, by the way, he's back in Sweden. Great. I cannot stand Gustav Lindgren at the moment. I don't want him to play, because I just don't like watching him as a footballer. He's lightweight. He gets bullied. He doesn't do anything. He just completely ghosts surrounding games. He's just awful, just absolutely awful. I don't even think he makes good runs. Like, since the club have really started peddling that, I've been trying to watch it, and he doesn't do anything other than just like waltz. Like, just if there's two defenders running back, he just runs in the middle of them and points in random locations and thinks that that's going to do something. He's just terrible, isn't he, Gustav Lindgren? I'll move on to something a bit more positive. Declan Frith, I thought, looked quite good when he came on, had a couple of nice promising moments. He looks like a good dribbler, but he doesn't look like a Keane Hayes good dribbler, if you know what I mean. He looks like he's a good dribbler, but who might actually have a bit of end product. He dribbles with his head up, which is nice to see. Hayes often dribbles with his head down. I think he Listen, he was really tough when he came on. I think he literally was getting the ball with four players around him and still managing to wiggle free. The ref didn't give anything in his favour tonight when he came on. He was tripped about three times and he got absolutely nothing. Thought he had a good impact. I prefer him on the right to the left, but I think that's just my thing with wingers. I prefer inverted wingers, sort of the classic wingers. But yeah, I thought he was good. But Gustav Lindgren is still rent-free in my head. I just can't get over it. But Frith will start on Saturday. Gustav may start on Saturday in an emergency loan to Peter Sports.
Wow. Passionate about Gustav. It's okay to just say he isn't good enough, which is what he is, ultimately. Another man that probably isn't quite hitting the mark is O'Brien Brady. Came on the pitch, didn't do anything in the slightest. I think that's probably the big frustration, is that 75% of the subs today probably took us backwards. They didn't really change the game in a positive matter. Maybe that's not their fault, but if Frith is happy to run with the ball, then that's fine. But the other three, they didn't really do a great deal. And I don't think that it can reiterate any more than it already has how desperately we need reinforcements. Some of them are already in the building, but we still clearly need another winger, another striker, and another centre-back by the sounds of things.
Well, we might need all of those positions, but we do have another midfielder. Ben Wood signed in the week from Accrington Stanley. On the face of it, I think looks a decent signing to me. Max, what's your thoughts?
Over the moon. Such an excellent signing. It's exactly what we need. Perfect profile of player for Peterborough United. And it is excellent to see him come in. He looks to be a number eight, and that's something that's really key, but he can score goals. And I think it was Ashley that was talking about the other day, you know, when was the last time that we had a match-winning central midfielder? Ben Woods could definitely be that player that can come and score us a goal. He has an excellent shooting technique, which is something that I'm really looking forward to seeing. And in this system that Fergie has been testing with two eights and a six, without playing that number 10, if Ben Woods can add goals to two number eights, then that could be a system that we could see flourish. And that is the most positive thing that's come out of these last five games, is that we've signed a player of Ben Woods' calibre, because I really think he's going to be a hit. I can't see it being a miss, actually. I'm that confident in Ben Woods being a good signing. And this is in a step in the right direction for these signings that we're getting in now, which we should have got in at least a month ago. I cannot believe it's taken this long to get him done. But it's such a good signing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him play at London Road.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Max. I think just looking at his stats in League Two, 15 goal contributions last season, that's the exact sort of player we should be signing. That's exactly what I said when Bass came in. It feels like somebody that's ready to make a step up a level, and I'm happy for Peterborough to give them the platform to be there. Generally, if they're getting that many goals in League Two, you'd like to think they can make the step up to what we are now, which is a bottom half League One club. What I would also say is, with the addition of Woods, with the addition of Garbutt, with the addition of Lolos, who's now getting fit, with the addition of Keller and Collins still being here, a lot of these players that we're really critical of, like Donny O'Brien Brady, is going to be sixth choice. Now, as a sixth choice League One midfielder, am I comfortable with Donny O'Brien Brady filling that squad role? Yes, I probably am. He's not really great, but as a sixth choice, very limited game time, he can probably play that role. Am I comfortable with Gustav Lindgren potentially being, if we sign a striker, get Brad, include Lolos as a forward, being the fourth choice striker that we use in emergency moments and probably never see? Yes, I probably am. These players that we're really picking on, I guess, or there's doubts over Kagwe and Nevitt, for instance, well, neither of them are going to start. If we sign another centre-back and Sam Hughes gets fit and Tom Lees is good, they're fourth and fifth choice. They're okay for those roles. And all of a sudden, the squad is starting to take shape. So I think Woods is an important signing in that, because it gives us the depth that means that these players that are playing way too often, and often we're very critical of, and I agree with Ash sometimes, we probably are a little bit too harsh on some of them, in the sense that they're just not good enough for the level. So how angry can you get with them? Well, they'll be playing roles that are more suited to the level of ability that they have, rather than being thrown into the wolves and made to play 46 League One games as a starter. So Woods is a good signing for that. I'm really happy with how the midfield's now looking. And when they get fit, I think there is some promise in that area. I think we will have a competent League One midfield out of it.
Yeah, I can really see the vision with the Woods signing. I think Keller and Woods as a double pivot has a lot of potential. I think they compensate for each other's strengths really well. And I think what they will be is they will be so industrious. Like Collins and Kyprianou were in that, you know, when they were really at their best, in the sense that they just covered every blade of grass. And it just felt like they every week just left everything on the football pitch. I think that's what Keller and Woods will do. Both on four, Keller's on a 4+1. Woods is on a 4-year deal. That's fantastic for the football club. Future-proofing against more terrible things going on. And I think Lolos playing in front of those two actually will be really, really good. Lolos tonight, I know we didn't touch on him, but I felt like he often puffed, but clearly out of fitness. But I do think there's a real player in there. We saw that in moments, even just at Wigan when he sort of turned twice and had a shot. That was just a little bit of quality that we hadn't seen so far this season. I think that midfield three of Woods, Keller and Lolos has real potential. I can really see the future. And then obviously we've got Garbutt, who's a bit of a maverick and can sort of go into any of those three roles and probably will start for us. I think it will be a really good midfield in the future. And to be fair, this season, potentially, I think Woods was my first choice replacement for Archie Collins. And I know we've not lost Collins yet, but we're going to lose him and Woods will take his place. And I think carry that mantle forward very well.
Well, we need him to be a good sign. And I think we're all in agreement on that. With that, we're at the end of the episode. Whilst we're wrapping up, we would love to hear in the comments, what are your three strongest midfielders? How do you think Posh will line up when everyone's fit? Please do get in the comments and tell us that. If you're not subscribed as well, please, please do subscribe. It really helps us. The numbers are still growing, which is great to see. We promise we'll try and bring you a win to cover soon. Please win. The Hard Truth Derby at the weekend. So countdown for kickoff. We'll be back for that when we take on Bradford. High-flying Bradford. I don't think we're going to be too optimistic with our predictions, but fingers crossed for some upset. With all that said, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
I can't believe you both did that at the same time.
That's, yeah, that was really icky. Yeah. Really icky.
Mega icky.